The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
All right. Hi again, everybody, and welcome back aboard our local hour here on my favorite two AM radio stations in the entire nation. Of course, 1450 AM KBFI in beautiful Bonner's Ferry, 1400 AM KSBT, right here in our studios in Sandpoint. I'm Bob Witte, along with you once again this week. And as most of you regular listeners and some of you irregular listeners probably remember that Ricky and I, instead of doing our weekly Ricky's Top 10 like we did for so many years, we're now once a month, and it's that time of the month. So today it's Ricky's Top 10, and she's been bugging me for years about doing a top 10 favorite comedian show. And honestly, I could never come up with my top 10 list without, you know, dissing about 100 comedians.
I feel like I could come up with your top 10 list. I feel like you're overthinking
it. Yeah, you tell
it.
Me. But anyway, so we have this opportunity because coming up this Saturday night, the Panada Theater, we have a live comedy, Philip Kopczynski.
You nailed it.
I think I nailed that. Is the headliner there. And Rob Wentz, who's from right here in Sandpoint.
That's right.
Will be joining him. And that is this Saturday at the Panada Theater. Doors at 7:30, show at 8. No proof of vaccination required. It says so right here. And it's $20 tickets in advance, which is a bargain, $25 at the door. You can check out more info at panada.org. Or as I would say, panada.org, but then Ricky would correct me. Anyway, that's what we're doing here today, so stick around, stay tuned. We'll be talking about the show. We'll be talking about all three of these people have their top 10 lists, so we will get to that right after this. All right, we are back. Ricky's top 10 for this month. Again, coming up to Panada this Saturday evening, live comedy. And Ricky, turning it over to you. How do you want to do this?
Well, first of all, I wanted to acknowledge that it's just about our, I think, 5-year anniversary of doing this show. Isn't the Super Bowl soon? And
that's when we started. Super Bowl is it's soon,
Yeah, so happy anniversary.
It's this Sunday, actually.
No way. Oh, yeah. It's like that's it. Oh.
Okay, it is
cool.
I know you're a huge fan.
Yeah, I totally follow.
So this, let's just say this is the 5-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. Well, how shall we be a part of it?
Thank you. Does that mean we're part of the Five Timers Club? Woohoo! And then also, there's something else I forget what I wanted to say to you.
I'm glad you remembered that.
Oh, Happy New Year. This is our first show of the year. We didn't do one in January.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Where have you been?
I don't know. Don't ask me questions like that. So how do I want to do this? Let's start at 10 and go down to our top.
Well, first of all, let's introduce our guest, Philip Kopczynski, headliner for this show. Tell us about yourself.
Oh, hey, what's going on? Yeah, my name is Philip Kopczynski. Day in a life for me is I wake up late because I'm a stand-up comic, and then I do whatever I want, and then I do stand-up comedy. So, yeah, this is actually the first return I've had back to Panada. This is the second time in a big theater. When I started comedy, I would come up about every 9 months and do their little theater, and then we would do the 219, and it just feels like there's been a glut of comedy since COVID. Wait, great timing on the cough, by the way.
We have a cough button here.
But so it's a it's great to be back in Sandpoint. You know, since then, let's see, I haven't been back since like 2018. I got second at Seattle International, which was exciting, but it was a little bit sad because nobody from Washington had won it since 2003. Huh. So I was like, so close.
Yeah.
And now people are coming to me and they're like, what should I do? And I'm like, you need to win is what you need to do.
Yeah.
Do better.
Yeah,
is what you need to do.
But that, no, it's been nice. That led to more national gigs. And then I went to, and then I got a Dry Bar special in 2019. And it aired in January 2020, and it led to a bunch of opportunities all over the country that then subsequently disappeared immediately.
Yeah. Dang it.
Yeah, but it's been nice because I started skiing in Schweitzer a lot more because I had so much more time. So it's nice to come back, do the big theater, and hopefully, you know, bring stand up back to Sandpoint and bring some business to Panda, because I've always loved performing there.
What is this show going to look like at the Panda protocol wise? Like, are they doing masking, vaxxing, anything?
So we opted not to. We can kind of pick to do that. Mm-hmm. As because they, which is by the way, too much responsibility for an entertainer. I'm not a scientist. I'm just trying to make people laugh, and they're like, "What medical process should we do for a live show?" I'm like, "Dude, I have no idea. Cram them all in there together and start laughing at each other." Like, I don't. I mean, you know, so I've been performing. So I took 90 days off when this first happened, and then I've gone from, you know, Washington to Florida during the pandemic. I've seen a myriad of different restrictions. I live in Washington, which is like the tightest restriction. I mean, you go to King County, there's people with masks on and face shields while they're driving.
Right.
And then the
alone in
the
car.
Yeah, alone in a car, windshields are going, and then they're wiping off the humidity underneath. There's like two windshields going at once. And it's they're like a little aggressive there. I mean, I'm at a point where I've had it. I've taken the steps so I can be healthy. I would, you know, I hope other people do, but talk to your doctor, not your politician, is my advice. Talk to your doctor is what you should do. But I just feel like, you know, we're in a place where it's a lot of personal responsibility at this point. Don't come if you're worried about being sick. I don't want anybody to come here and get sick. I got plenty of stuff. You can watch my Dry Bar special. You can watch my special on Amazon. But if you want to experience live comedy, come. The staff will be wearing masks,
nice.
I'm sure, but the masking is optional. Yeah. Vaccine card is also optional, and I believe the restriction will be over. It'll be at 80. The capacity will be limited to 80%.
Okay. Yeah.
But if we sell 80% out, I'll be
that's
pretty
awesome.
Stoked.
That's a great
yeah.
show.
Yeah, that'd be pretty
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Philip, I have watched all that stuff online, and it's hysterical. So it's going to be a great night at the Panda. Rob Wentz, you're from Sandpoint.
Yeah.
Went to Sandpoint High School, graduated
right.
2016.
Oh, yeah.
How did you
State get... champions, almost. Oh, almost. We didn't win.
Okay.
Almost. Really close. Really, really close. This one double pass, real bad play.
Dang it.
But, you know, what are you
have
do?
You performed on the Panda stage before?
No, and I'm really
what?
Excited to. I've been doing comedy like 3 years. I started in January 2019 was my first open mic.
No, like dance recitals, choir performances.
No,
nothing.
No.
Wow.
I played. I was into girls, so I didn't know.
Okay.
No, none of that stuff.
All right.
But I, I'm super excited. But one of the things I always wanted to when I started comedy is I wanted to perform at the Panda Theater before I end up moving away and stuff.
It's a rite of passage.
I'm super excited to make people laugh in my hometown like I did in high school. So
it's exciting.
Really, really exciting. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Invited a bunch of my friends, so I think two of them will show up. So really, really should be good.
And I think we're gonna do a paternity test afterwards. To figure out some questions that have been happening.
Yeah,
after
there's way more redheaded kids in this town than there used to be, I tell you. So, yeah, it's a real problem. It's a real, real problem.
Well, you know, all the redheads in Ireland started with one guy.
Well, so that's right. I must have been. That's
his great uncle.
I know that guy.
I think it would be greater than that. Anyway, Ricky, top 10, you wanted to just. Rob to go first, then Philip, then you. Or
sure, that sounds great. Let's
we start
do that.
At 10?
We'll start at 10.
We'll start at 10, go down to number 1.
Should we interrupt each other and start yelling if we disagree?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Okay,
see,
good. We're on the same page.
It goes a lot like our rehearsals, which is we don't.
Okay, perfect.
Never have.
Exactly. Good, because I didn't really rank them. I just
perfect.
Came up with 10 comics.
Do you just go Rob and then go counterclockwise?
You only came up with 10.
Yeah. I just came
I
up with 10.
I had to narrow my list of listed comics.
Think about a top 10 list. Changes, and I never
for
could
sure.
rank them, so it's really hard. So I guess I could start. I think I think Sam Kennison is my 10.
I don't know Sam Kennison.
You know Sam Kennison?
Oh yeah,
Sam Kennison's a
you
wild boy.
But if you YouTube him, you'll,
I'm taking notes.
He liked to yell a lot at the audience, which I think that's funny. I think that's great.
Okay.
He would just yell about being married and how awful that was, and having been in one 2-month relationship, couldn't agree more. I mean, my God, how you do it? I just have no idea. I really liked him. That would be 10. That's my 10.
All right. I think that's a great choice. Son of a preacher, had a lot of big chip on his shoulder. He had almost like a preacher style.
Okay.
But the way I looked at it was. They had to have a body of work. So it wasn't just like one killer special.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
like
he had one killer special.
He had one special that made him into like a rock star, right?
You'll have
so.
One comedian with one killer special. But
this is my parameters,
okay.
All right? And I also I tried to pick people that other people have heard of.
Sure.
You know, which the number 10, most people probably have not heard of him. But I think he's worth being on there. He was on The Man Show in the late 90s, early 2000s. He has a huge body of work. His name is Doug Stanhope. He's a super, super subversive, almost says things that are not okay to say in society. I worked with him right before the pandemic, like right before school shut down, the week before.
Nice.
And he was making jokes about how little he cared, and he was making jokes about how he showed up in the Seattle airport, just like put his tongue on the handrail.
Don't do that anyway.
Just to get it over with.
That's never okay.
And he didn't disappoint. Like, seeing him live was fantastic. Yeah. He feels like somebody who could like if there's an alt-right, he would be like the alt crazy.
Okay.
Sure. Didn't he find a gun in his
He made the news.
Yeah,
he found the gun. He found a gun in his hotel room when he was in Seattle. Yeah.
No, in Spokane.
Or in Spokane. Yeah. Made the local news.
Interesting.
That happens every day in Spokane.
Exactly. So. Yeah. My number 10, I don't know how many people have heard of her. I just recently, my brother introduced me to her. Hannah Gatsby. A couple of specials on Netflix. A little controversial. Not the happiest, jokiest comedian. But she takes you on a real journey. And there are some critics who are not fans. And then some that are like, she's changing the face of comedy. So it's a very divisive comic. But I couldn't get over how much I enjoyed listening to her. And the whole, like, you're just in it so hard. And then when the jokes hit, it's just like the end of the world. It's
she makes you feel terrible, and then she'll make you laugh, and you're like, okay, I'm better. But
exactly,
you know, people say people she face. Oh, you're gonna hate our show if you like her.
That's true.
she makes people feel really uncomfortable. I don't have a problem with her comedy. What I have a problem with is when people look at her and they're like, she's changing the face of comedy.
Sure.
And it's like, there have been a lot of other specials that were one man, one woman specials, basically, where they did that. There was a guy in the, especially when HBO was in its heyday in the 80s and 90s, they would take, like, John Leguizamo. I don't know if you guys know this guy.
Love John Leguizamo.
Yeah. So he did Freak on HBO, where he was like four different characters, and it got super uncomfortable. At one point, he played a female character. He played a hooker. He played a transgender hooker at one point. I mean, it was like, and this is like,
my favorite type of hooker, by the way.
This is like the late 90s, you know, and so there, that kind of stuff has always existed. It's just, you know, in some ways it's kind of sad, like we've become a little more homogenized in the way that we think. So I'm like, bring as much wild, you know, differences as you can and make people argue about it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that poster. That's a pretty diverse poster. You have a redhead.
I'll hold it up for all the people on the radio to see this.
Yeah, Harry's a black guy from the South. Rob is a guy that just got off the boat from Ireland. I look Polish, and Rob can't swim.
Ryan.
So
Ryan can't swim.
Yeah,
it's true.
Ryan gets all scared on boats. All right, we at number 9
this weekend. I didn't like it.
Rob, you're number 9.
Number 9. It's gonna be controversial because I feel like I ranked him kind of low.
Mm.
But Dave Attell. I love Dave Attell. I would have put him higher if he had more specials out.
I can see why he's low too, because it's not always like the easiest comedy to sit through.
Right. I love Dave Attell, but I think the, like, everybody who does comedy respects him so much and has so many great things to say, but he never really, like, commercially made it huge. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's just so smart, so quick on his feet, and just so, like kind of like when I watched Harry feature one time, one on the weekend, he did a different 30 minutes four nights in a row.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that with Dave Attell. He could do a different hour four nights a week. You know what I mean? He's just got so much great material and so timely. And he's so attractive, my God.
He's a tiny man.
He's a small guy.
Yeah, he is easy for me to.
Right.
I totally agree. I mean, that's why he didn't go up higher for me, because he didn't have, you know, he's only got one one like album, which I don't even think I can say the title on this show. But anyway, so my number 9, I'm gonna go, and this is also, I feel like he should have been ranked higher, but I just, It's kind of my personal taste is Jim Gaffigan.
I have Jim Gaffigan on my honorable mentions because I love Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan is a genius writer. Him and his wife have created a like massive industry in making jokes about food. And and somehow unoffensively making fun of the cultures that they visit.
He's the kind of comedian that you could turn on any time and just puts you in a better mood. Like, so good.
And he'll take one topic and just do it from every single angle for like 6 or 7 minutes. And yeah, he's great. I love every time Jim Gaffigan comes out with a special, I'll watch it right away or I'll wait until I can like share it with my family, you know.
It's one of those guys where he'll say something about a food or a place that they vacationed. And you go, how come I never thought of that?
Yeah,
I mean, we're all looking at the same thing.
Exactly. I like that you can also watch him. The first time I saw him, my family was in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, this is funny. And normally when I'd have comedy on, they'd be like, you are grounded for like 2 weeks. You cannot. Yeah. This is unacceptable.
He's a clean comic that's actually funny. Incredibly
hysterical.
Hilarious.
I will say in his last Rogan special, he dropped the F word like 30 seconds in.
Oh,
yeah. So like conversationally, he does not hold back. There's some clean comics that won't.
Okay, let's get into your number 9, and we'll need to take a break.
Okay, sounds good. If you didn't like my number 10, you're not gonna like my number 9. It's Tig Notaro.
Get out.
I know.
Tig Notaro.
I like
the happiest comedy in the world. Like, she makes a lot of breast cancer jokes. Like, basically, that's where she got her notoriety. But if you look at her earlier work, too, she's just hilarious. I love her style. Fun to listen to. Also, easy listening, given the subject matter. Like, I just enjoy her in general.
Tig Notaro is great. Yeah. I mean, she takes the vulnerability that you should. I mean, she's the essence of stand-up is finding vulnerability and then making it cathartic by laughing at it.
Exactly.
I
mean, love self-deprecating comedy.
She's fantastic.
Style.
Yeah.
Good Very stuff. Good. So we are talking to Rob Wentz, comedian, redheaded comedian. If you hadn't caught on, good looking.
For a comedian.
Face made for radio.
Yeah, for a comedian. Good thing we're on the radio. And Philip Kopczynski, and they are playing at the Panada with a couple other friends this Saturday. And Ricky, of course, it's Ricky's top 10 favorite comedians of all time. And we'll continue with that right after this.
I canceled everything for this.
It's just a matter of there's somebody else in the studio.
Go in here
in
at noon.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Born ready.
All right, we are back top 10 favorite comedians of all time. We've got some real live comedians with us and Ricky.
Wah-wah.
And we are at Rob Wentz's number 8.
My number 8 comedian is Jerry Seinfeld.
Number eight.
Because,
you know, he didn't make my list, so I can't give
Him a little. You know, some people really like him. I like that he can look at anything and write it observationally. He changed the way people for 10 years just did a Jerry Seinfeld impression after him. So I just wish he wasn't such a freaking nerd. But like, you know, other than that,
New York, it's East Coast.
There's a couple
East
things
Coast
I don't
humor.
Like him.
Okay,
but then I found out a couple of years into his television show that one of my rivals playing baseball growing up in high school and college, we were always on different teams, never got along, hated his guts. He was one of his writers. And I go, that's it. That's official. Jerry Seinfeld is not a funny guy.
My entire life. Bob Woody is standing in the background with his hands on his hips watching us watch Seinfeld and telling us this story on the commercial break. It's a whole thing.
I did not put Seinfeld on my list at all because I saw him live.
Oh.
And then in his most recent special, he was doing jokes from that live appearance 18 years ago. I'm like, for a guy that talented, I'm like, you need to write more. He's just in this old school, because it used to be people would write 20 minutes and that's their whole career, and that's just not the case
anymore.
He
is good. Like, I get your point about Jerry Seinfeld, though, is that he has a certain style. Everyone knows and recognizes Jerry Seinfeld's stand-up.
He has
a thing that he does, and he does it very well. And
it's also great in the
B-movie. Yes. I mean, the B movie, we can all agree, is the best American movie of all time.
Thank you.
Well, Seinfeld is pretty good.
He's pretty good.
The show is great, man.
The
show is great. My number 8 is Dave Attell, the ultimate working class comic.
Yeah.
He looks at, I think the big reason he doesn't have more specials is because he's so hard on himself. He's like, I got to have jokes that are relevant right now. And if you wait, 9, 10, 12 months it takes to get a special out there, he's already swapped out all his material.
Right.
It's wild. He'll have a same setup and four different punchlines, like that he'll swap out and just be like, none of them are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very critical of himself.
Interesting. Well, too bad for him. my number eight is controversial to me only because I haven't done a deep dive. I don't know how much body of work he has, but I'm a big fan just from what I've seen is Michael Che. Like him. I feel like he has a lot of comedy ahead of him. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's like on the rise. I hope that something else comes out of Weekend Update, but he's great. If he does this for the rest of his life, great. Like, I'm happy with that. Also loved his special and just like a huge fan. Like, he just is, he's a good
comedian. I love his joke about Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Where he's like, just matter. They just matter.
It's not. Exactly. Also, I feel like one of the most shared jokes at the time. Like, that was like a big thing.
That was a great joke.
Huge. Yeah.
That was also in like 2016.
Yeah, that was in 2016.
So that's that's crazy. Right. That's, you think about like that. He's. I think he's gonna go down as one of the greats as long as he keeps doing stand up.
Exactly.
Yeah. He might open for good one.
Very good one. Rob, you're number eight.
Wasn't that my number eight? Or am I on
you're on seven.
We're on number seven.
We're on number seven now.
Let's go. No, let's just skip down to number seven.
All right. Sounds
good. Can we do that?
In the show now. My number seven's Eddie Murphy. I love Raw, and I loved his stuff in the 80s, man. He was just killer. He was very, like, high energy, super, his joke about taking a poop, killer. doesn't get better than that. He's just, like, super
like
high energy.
Six people that are better than that.
But well, maybe, but no, yeah, I liked Eddie Murphy a lot.
I've never been a huge Eddie Murphy. I have nothing against him. I dislike Eddie Murphy. I just don't care about him.
Well,
much.
A lot of people, and maybe you're one that doesn't realize that he was a stand-up comedian first, like so many other people, like a Bob Newhart or so many.
He started in this,
or Bill Cosby was a great stand-up comedian. Yeah. That people only remember him from the TV shows.
Right.
And Eddie Murphy is kind of one of those that some certain generations don't know that he ever did that.
Yeah,
only because you brought him up. I did want to address Bill Cosby. Obviously not on my list, but I grew up listening to Bill Cosby records my whole life. I knew he was a stand-up comedian before anything else, because that was like our favorite. The Chicken Heart That Ate New York was still talking about it every time we go camping. Best thing I'd ever heard in my whole life.
Yeah.
Growing up with it.
Very clean comedy. Personal life is not so
whole
much.
Other story. Yes.
Yeah.
He made my list.
That's fine.
I just
tells you a lot about Philip.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
I used to not tell people he's not on my list. He's on my list, but I mean, at this point, I'm like, how do you not separate, how do you not recognize the 30-year body? And also, I've seen him twice live, so I've seen what he can do.
Right.
Wasn't putting people to sleep then.
Right.
All right, my number seven is
that was horrible.
Yeah. Come to the show February 12th, no holds bar. All right, so my number seven, Chris Rock.
Yeah.
I think Chris Rock had one of the most relevant specials during the height of the crack epidemic. I mean, it is unbelievable. Like, the way. If you watch that special, like, sometimes the camera shakes a little bit, and it's because of how hard people are laughing. I just listened to it at an airport, and then he came out with another special less than 24 months later. So he was so prolific in New York at the time, and also super underrated filmmaker. He has probably about eight films out there that he's directed and written, and I think Chris Rock is fantastic.
Yeah. They call him a poor man's Eddie Murphy.
Oh, man.
Chris Rock so much better than Eddie Murphy. I don't even compare
them. Don't worry. We just got a long way on the list.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I've never seen Chris Rock wear 12 fat suits for a single. I mean, Eddie Murphy's done so much corny stuff. That's where I'm like, dude, I got to. Like, Chris Rock is the best.
Okay. My number seven is Phyllis Diller.
What?
Holy cow.
Who is Phyllis Diller?
I would have never guessed you were 80.
This is why she's on my list.
No idea who that
she's
is.
She's 900 years old, which is also why she should get her due respect. She was a female comedian before Joan Rivers. Like, she really paved the way for a lot of female comedians.
And she didn't start as a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, she was well into her upper 30s when she decided, I'm not a housewife anymore.
Exactly.
I'm pretty effing funny.
Yeah, and in that day, when you're 30 and a housewife, you're 80 in these days. You know what I mean? Like, this is like the end of her life already. And she is, look her up. Like, she's just
she's
funny.
Yeah.
The way she talks, the way she dresses, everything about her is hilarious. And she's I don't know, just really funny.
It was people like her and Lenny Bruce.
Yeah.
Before them, nobody like made fun of presidents.
Exactly.
And swore on stage. It's like, that foul-mouthed woman, what? but they changed, they set the pace for modern comedy. That's like Lenny Bruce especially.
Push the envelope. Yeah.
I'm going to say anything I want until they arrest me. And they arrested him all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got arrested a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is like Phyllis Diller's time, and she's a tiny woman. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of respect for Phyllis Diller.
Oh, no. She was a huge act. I mean, same with Joan Rivers. I would put Joan Rivers on this list. I was like, what would I sit down and binge?
Sure.
You know? But yeah, as far as like trailblazers.
Yeah.
That Lenny Bruce, though, it's funny. He's a trailblazer, but when you sit down and try to listen to Lenny Bruce now, I'm like,
it's
yeah. It doesn't
make any sense.
Like, this was offensive.
Comedian. Right.
Well, if you watch that show Mad Men, that series
from
a few years ago, and that guy was playing Lenny Bruce in 1960, and how obnoxious he was. And so, to the common person, Lenny Bruce was just obnoxious, like, shut up.
Yeah.
But no one had done it before. And just like Phyllis Diller, it's like, no female would ever come out and talk like that.
Yeah.
So right.
It was record groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah. Look up Phyllis Diller. Do yourself a favor.
All right.
If you like puppets.
Yeah.
Oh, I love puppets. That's right. That brings me to Jeff Dunham, my number six. No, just kidding.
Should we do our number six?
Let's do our number six. How about Rob's number six, and then we'll take a break.
Okay.
I think my number six is Brian Regan.
I don't know Brian Regan.
Oh,
do yourself a favor.
Do yourself a favor. Look at Brian
Regan. Ronald's son that no one knew.
Yeah, right. Brian Regan's a clean comic who sells out theaters and arenas, and is just like, everything he does is hilarious and clean. He's like if Jim Gaffigan was funnier.
okay.
And cleaner. Yeah. Brian Regan is hilarious. He has his last special he just did, like, I was writing jokes and I looked at his jokes and went, well, I can't use any of these jokes.
He's got killer. my favorite joke, which is, do you think the guy who runs the butterfly pavilion at the zoo ever gets stressed out? Which is just, I mean, that concept is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's like, I can't handle the politics. Like, he's unbelievable.
He's got great facial expressions, too. It's very kind of physical,
nice.
Which is, I like that in comedy. It's kind of more physical, outgoing.
Imagine Bill Burr, but clean. Like,
okay.
He's got that kind of, I mean, that's an interesting way to think of Brian Regan. Brian Regan is his 17 specials. He's the only person to ever put out a network back special that was filmed live.
Wow.
He blew up in Utah before anyone else. That's how clean he is. Yeah.
Bill Burr is on my honorable mention list, so I'll probably enjoy Brian Regan.
Yeah. Let's see. So,
well, wait,
we're going to take a break.
Need to take a break. It's Ricky's top 10, obviously your top 10 favorite comedians. We have Phil Kopczynski and Rob Wentz with us. They're playing at the Panada this Saturday night. So bring your loved one out for a great way to kick off Valentine's weekend with these two guys and two of their other friends. We'll talk more about that right after this. All right, we are back. Our final segment here today, North Idaho Thursday, which obviously this week is Ricky's top 10.
Obviously.
Great to have you back after taking a month off. And we are with these two comedians we've been with the last 45 minutes, and we've got about 10 minutes left here to go. We are at Phil's number six.
My number six is, some people might make fun of me for this, but I stand by it, Jeff Foxworthy. Hilarious joke writer. All right, he gets pinned
himself in.
Well, he won't. When you're cashing those checks, it's hard not to. The redneck jokes, right? You might be a redneck So this guy. So this is what. Okay, Steve Martin had a record in the late 70s of the number of record sales. Jeff Foxworthy won a stand up competition at a bar in Alabama. Quit his job at IBM. 3 years later, broke that album sales record.
Wow.
You talk about like people who paved the way. There is an entire middle part of the country between LA and New York that was not being, that jokes weren't for them. They didn't, you know, they don't get the observational comedy. They don't get jokes about the subway or whatever.
Relate to Jerry Seinfeld?
But, I mean, and he related to all those people. Yeah. And he is a savvy business person, so he just leaned in. And his, he doesn't make me laugh as often, like as much with his albums, but he makes me laugh harder than almost anybody else.
Right.
He has a joke where he's like, he was in a small airport and there's a place where they tested the windshields of the planes by shooting dead chickens at him, and he was like, dude, if people knew in my high school that was a job, there would have been a line around the city block lining up for that job. And I mean, that those kind of concepts he finds in rural America, and you talk about opening doors, I probably wouldn't even have a career out of Spokane if it wasn't for guys like that doing gigs in small town bars, you know. So I love Jeff Foxworthy. I think he's really
up
funny.
There with Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy would never agree with that. Neither would Juan Wright, though. Also,
so I don't hear a lot about Jeff Foxworthy these days. Is he still actively?
Well, he's got a pile of money he has to constantly sort through.
Yeah.
he lives on basically a college campus, from what I understand. He was hosting a show for something else, and he does do dates. I mean, he still goes out and
he dated
does
my dates. Sister.
Yeah, he dated Rob's sister. He goes out and does like massive like 2,000 person venues on, if he can get his private plane out there. But he has, he's like a venture capitalist now.
Yeah.
So gotcha. Yeah. So he, I mean, he's
so he's not a redneck anymore.
Well, I don't think he ever really totally was. I mean, he quit. Like I said, he quit his job at IBM. I mean, I know a lot of rednecks. Yeah. I don't. None of them ever worked at IBM.
I grew up in Sandpoint. I know a lot of rednecks.
Yeah.
There's, you know, his. He was never hateful. He's never racist. He rarely talked about politics. He was clean, and he's just. And I've watched his specials and just read the jokes where the writing is solid. He's a great joke writer who gets pigeoned into the you might be a redneck thing too much, right. I think. Yeah.
Why I've never listened to his comedy is because of that joke. My number six, is that what we're... Okay, yeah. This is controversial. I know you're going to be mad at me. Only because he's so low on my list. My number six is Steve Martin.
He's not even on my list.
That was the most disappointed Bob Woody's ever been in.
Let's talk about Steve Martin for a minute.
Let's talk about Steve Martin. The guy
started as a teenager at Disneyland.
Yes.
And that's why he was playing the banjo and telling old school corny jokes. But then he did that for several years. But then he got a job piloting the Jungle Ride and came up with the routine that they still, to this day, I would bet, they still use his jokes on the Jungle Ride. Look out, hippo! And... I mean, he made up all that stuff, and then he was so dry and so funny, and just things like, you know, those French have a different word for everything. I mean,
So
who would think of stuff like that?
I also grew up listening to Steve Martin records. We're like a regular in our household. I got to see him at the Hollywood Bowl play banjo. He was opening for Ricky Lee Jones, and it was the funniest concert I've ever. It wasn't a stand-up show, and he's so funny. Just everything he says, he couldn't help himself. Just little banter between songs was the funniest thing I had ever heard. Steve Martin is a genius. He's great. I just don't listen to him now. I feel like I'm his old comedy.
A work thing too. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
He doesn't have as a big body of work as other. That's why he didn't make my list. I think he's hilarious, but his body of work is not.
He quit doing comedy because he was doing arenas and he couldn't get the intimacy anymore. Yeah. That was what.
And it sort of wore himself out because it was so unique and so funny. So then he's so versatile. You know, he's got a zillion dollar art collection. He's a wine connoisseur, and he's made tons
he has
of
a
movies.
Full acting career. Yeah,
the acting career is incredible.
Okay.
And he just added something to all those characters in those movies. Like, this guy is hysterical.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people don't even appreciate his dry humor. Yeah. It's just.
Well, he's almost like a. Like, I mean, I don't put Robin Williams on this list because it's like he's beyond stand up almost. Like, he's like a star power. You know, he's not one of us lowly.
Not one of us road boys. You know?
I think a stand up background with Steve Martin.
For sure.
I knew him first.
No, he's great.
I think you mentioned Robin Williams. It's got to be one of the funniest routines of all time, how they invented golf.
Oh, I love that routine.
It's unbelievable. Go after the show, guys. Just YouTube it, and you will laugh, even if you don't care about golf. It is great. Rob and Philip, you guys are playing this Valentine's weekend, Saturday night, at the Panada Theater. Tickets are available now at panada.org or panada.org, depending on who you talk to. And more information on the show and your other two guests. Tickets are just $20 in advance and $25 at the door. What can we expect from you two and your two buddies this Saturday night?
It is going to be an hour and a half of very strong comedy. I situated it as 30-minute sets from myself, Harry, and Ryan. Rob's going to come out, and he started 3 years ago, but I would have think he's like a 10-year comic. He was right out of the gate, super strong, so it's nice to have him be able to perform in his hometown. I would have picked him. I pick him to be on the road with me. Like, we're going to Oregon 2 days before this, so it's
buckle
not.
Buckle up, Oregon.
Get ready. Hide your daughters, Oregon. Rob Wentz is coming to town.
I'll steal your dog. Yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
Lock your gas tanks. Someone's coming to siphon everything.
Only if it's premium.
You learned a lot at Sandpoint High School.
Yeah, I did.
I would have guessed alternatives.
I learned how to survive.
So Rob, it's gonna be great. I mean, I did this as 30-minute sets because if it winds up being successful, we can come back next year and everybody can come with a fresh 30 minutes.
Nice.
Everybody on this is very capable of turning around that much material in a year and has that much. Myself, Harry, Ryan are all house comics at the Spokane Comedy Club. We've all headlined for weekends at the Spokane Comedy Club. Harry's worked nationally. I've worked nationally. Harry's been seen on Silverwood commercials, which is really fun.
Oh.
A lot of star power coming out of February.
It's gonna be a real roller coaster ride of a set.
I think he has the funniest Silverwood commercial.
It's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny, and he's also been on the Sci-Fi Network. He's been on that zombie show that films in Spokane. He got killed on that show. He did have a line, so that's exciting.
Nice.
We are not. It's not. So I have a dry bar special, which is like squeaky clean. That will not be the case. This is Valentine's Day. We're doing it for adult couples.
Good to know.
Yeah, it's fun to come out. I mean, you'll be fine if you're like, oh no, I have sensitive sensibilities and words hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. You will be fine. We're not subversive comics that are gonna like undermine your belief in the system of society.
No.
But
we're just wild boys.
Yeah, we're just out here having a good time. And I really, really, really need people to come out so I can pay for one day at Schweitzer.
Nice.
and nobody on the show is from California. Does that help?
Yeah,
Does that help?
That helps.
That is why everyone in Sandpoint has a job, is to pay for one day at Schweitzer.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So, Rob, Sandpoint High School, how did you get into comedy?
I always thought I've been watching comedy. I always wanted to be a comedian since I was like 9 years old. And then when I took care of my grandfather in Baltimore. And that's when I started doing comedy with a fake ID when I was 20.
Because he couldn't talk back?
He couldn't talk back. Oh, anything to get out of the house, taken care of. Anything to not wipe his butt.
Yeah.
I saved it. I would get out of the house at like 11 o'clock. I'd go to like the crappiest part of Baltimore, and I'd have $5 in cash with me so I wouldn't get robbed. And then I would I'd tell jokes to a room. I was the only white fella, so that definitely made it a little different. And that was cool. So, yeah, I've been doing comedy for 3 years, and I love it. And hopefully one day I will not have to have a day job because I hate working. So that's kind of the goal.
Did you play at the Elks Club here?
Yeah, I played the Elks Club a couple times, yeah.
Yeah. How did that go?
It was awesome. It was fun. I've had Ryan McComb, who's on the show, headline one of those shows, and we had a great time. I featured on that, did about 20 minutes, and we had to shout out Sonia Brisboy for putting that together. I used to work at the Elks Club back in the day.
Really?
Pro shop manager to the stars.
Oh,
so you're
a pro shop manager to us. Is what
you look familiar, because I played at the Elks all the time.
I used to work in there, and it was fun, so I came back. I've done some shows there, and I've done some shows, I think I did a show at 219 one time, too.
Oh, gotcha.
So I've been here a couple times. I like it. I like it more when there's like more people I don't know. I always think it's kind of weird to do comedy for people that I grew up with. Yeah. But I like it though. Either way, it's fine. The problem is everybody that grew up with me knows that I'm saying it's a bunch of BS.
Right.
So like that didn't happen. So anyways.
Again, Philip Kopczynski and Rob Wentz, along with your very good friends, Harry Riley and Ryan McComb, and you guys are all playing at the Panada this Saturday. Once again, a great way to get in the mood for Valentine's Day. Let me just look at these two. It's so romantic.
I know you can't look at us, but you should be.
And again, tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. You do not need to have proof of vaccination. That's just entirely optional. So stay home if you're not going to go out, or go out and have a great time. It, obviously, what we've learned in the last hour is it's going to be funny.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. And this show has been a lot of fun, Ricky's Top 10 Favorite Comedians. But unfortunately, we only got through half of it. So we're going to record another one and do it again later in the month.
Yeah.
How's that?
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. That's it for this week. I'm Bob Whitty.